Killer Keller podcast. KillerKellerOfficial.com.
You need the Kellervision app. 24/7 mini documentaries, podcasts, live shows, DJ live streams, top fives, subscription packages, plus products for all your podcasts and street culture sports. Download it from the App Store for free today.
Instagram UK Frontline.
Beatbox created.
Killer Keller.
And we're here to talk about world music and street culture.
Killer Keller podcast.
The smell of Krylon in the morning. Ladies and gentlemen, Killer Keller podcast. God damn it. Big shout out to everybody that's a constant, frequent visitor of the show, man. Value your support immensely. And furthermore, big shout out to graffitikings.co.uk. Big shout out to everyone that downloaded the Kellervision app. Free download, you know what it is. Say no more. If you're listening, carry on as per. If you're watching, picture on now. We have inside the place, legacy holder. Oh my goodness, like to even begin the journey of this man, you can only start where he needs to go on. This is Rust DDS. What are you saying, my guy?
Quite good, man. Quite good. Glad to be here, man. Nice to finally meet you.
Honestly, there's been a little bit of waving back and forth because obviously these things, they take a little time to kind of park up and get to this position where we can have a chat. I know it's been a
They do.
Yeah. Everything's all right, yeah?
Yeah, pretty good, man. Been all right.
Yeah. So when I think of your era in DDS, I'm thinking of Chop, Hear Him, I'm thinking of Form, Dre. I'm thinking of like an era of that 90s caliber of just almost a different kind of style to what people would have perceived as London of its time. You were definitely proprietors of such an era of identity, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, definitely.
What's your take on it of its era? Give us some background on how you saw. How did you even get to this point where you were like creatively in the mix and doing your thing in London at that time?
From where it starts?
Yeah.
Well, basically, I was quite fortunate because where I grew up in North London, Tufnell Park, literally my next door neighbour was Form 72.
Form 72 was your neighbour?
Yeah, that's my neighbour. So he's like my oldest friend, let's say.
So that's how you got... Oh, no, my mind's just blown now. When you started the podcast, I'm like, okay, so that's how that formed, how that all began.
Yeah, literally it formed through Form. So, I mean...
Are you the same age? You guys are the
same
age?
No, he's a bit older than me.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it started sort of because of him, in a way.
That's just blowing my mind. Okay, were you of a time where you'd go out painting with him freely? Because we've had him on podcasts, obviously.
The maddest thing is, I've painted with him a few times, like at Peace Parks, like Halls of Fames,
yeah.
But not really Yards or Trains or any of that stuff. Mm. Well, like, once, you know, but yeah, man, it's because of him, you know. Wow. So I'm quite, like, fortunate to have had him as my neighbour.
Man, let's take it there then. So from that point on, and how did you get into Graff? How was that? If he was your neighbour, how did you even come alliance like that?
Basically, it was probably... It was around, like, 84, 86 maybe, I don't know, somewhere there. And he had certain books that were out.
Mm.
You know, everybody mentions Subway Art,
mm-hmm.
like the Bible of Graff.
The Bible
of
Graff.
But he had, like, Subway Art, and I think he used to go, like, Covent Garden a lot. But, you know, looking through Subway Art, I'd see all these mad letterings and, like, colour fades and arrows, and I fucking loved it. I was probably about eight years old,
yeah.
And I sort of was given a tag by them, which was JNR for, like, junior, but I didn't really like it, so then they gave me Rust. Like,
I like JNR though.
Yeah,
it's kind of cool.
It's not bad, but three letters is more like, sounds like a crew, isn't it? But
yeah.
I didn't know much. I was sort of eight, somewhere around then.
Eight.
And yeah.
eight. You were eight
about
years old.
About 8 years old, yeah. And I learned about Graf through him and Kerr. And, but yeah, basically, I didn't like JNR. And I was like, I don't like these letters. So they gave me Rust, because I'm ginger. And I was like, I like the letters.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. I was like, oh, wicked. But Kerr and Form, they gave me that tag.
Wow.
You know, I don't know how many people either sort of figured out their own tag or was given it, but I was given it. So I sort of learnt from them. And they was up, you know.
It's a route to passage, isn't it, when people give you your tag?
Yeah.
It's like that's fundamentally yours to... Well, it's a privilege, and you've just got to honour it, haven't you?
Yeah. Imagine you could say that. Hey, I grew up next to Form. Form and Kerr was like my best friends. And they was up, man. Sort of like, don't know if it was like 87, 88 or what it was. They were smashing it, but they were slightly older. So...
By how many years did you say it was?
I think Form is... I think he's 5 years older than me, maybe.
Mm.
I'm sure he's 5 years older than me.
You come from a very well-refined and, well-refined era of graffiti. Knowing that you came from those foundations, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Who else was ballooning around at that time?
The first main tags I ever noticed where I was at in North London was... The first tags I noticed was Wilco and Rolo and like XL and Shoe 2, Boss 1, Car 138, Rees, but that was a different Rees with two E's, R-E-E-Z. Oh man, like that's, I don't know, like there was a lot of North London writers.
Mm.
And then occasionally I'd get to meet writers on my road outside my house, like Info, Cliff, because Form, he sort of moved with them a bit, I think. And you had another writer called Blue that I think was from Finchley, but he used to mainly sort of do insides and just get tags, you know.
Mm.
But it was good, man. It was good. I wouldn't change it for the world. Like
XL, I'd say he suggested he definitely informed the world about that era. He was like an encyclopedia in his podcast. How much did you buck with him? How much is that of that era reign true? Because you mentioned Shoe 2 and Sub. You know, these
well,
people.
At that age, sort of 8 to 10, I used to notice certain tags, and then occasionally I got to meet, certain people, but I hadn't met XL502, I hadn't met Sub, certain writers, and I hadn't met them, but I used to see them up, like really fucking up, like everywhere, and I was like, wow, man. And it was like...
Talk to me about the intensity of that, like how heavy was the trains and the public spaces hit?
Like mainly, that was sort of street tags that I noticed, and then... Like, I did get onto the lines and go and look at certain graph and that, but it was quite a young age. And, I mean, I sort of moved with a writer called Sign 129 for a bit, and he's got an incredible style.
Even, S-I-G-N?
No, S-I-N-E. But he had, like, an incredible style back then.
Right.
And then, yeah, man, I just used to just go on certain lines and just get, like, inside tags on the Big Met, Northern line, any line really. But, you know, if you was out and about them days, like I was quite young, innit? So I was sort of learning. But you would see certain people up and you think, fuck, man, how does this person get up so much? They're incredible, lad. Mm. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, boy.
Just a segue, actually. It was an interesting conversation I had. I chat with my boy who's down in from Sheffield, graph writer. And it, critically, he was like, yo, like, London is so big.
Mm.
You can blend in with the environments. To get up, compared to getting up in a smaller city, isn't quote unquote easier. It's not a case of, you know, what's easy and what's hard. But he did make a point. It was like, you know, to be prolific in London, it's actually more about time over, you know, over anything. Because then you just, as long as you're consistent and daily in coverage and it got me kind of thinking. I was like, yeah, actually, how tough is it? What do you reckon the time span is?
It's mad tricky because, say, the thing is, like, sensible people are normally asleep at, like, midnight or whatever,
yeah,
where certain other people are wandering around where they shouldn't be and creeping around like a ninja, innit, just to get their name up. Some people don't get it. They think, what the fuck is that? You write your name up. And I'm like, no, not my name. Not my government name, my street name or my graffiti name. And they don't get it. And some people respect it, innit? But, like, some writers, they just hammer it and hammer it. And some people didn't stop through the years. Mm-hmm. They just kept going. And as long as you're consistent, because obviously your tags get cleaned, right?
That's true.
So you got to keep up with it and some stay. You know, it's a bit mad.
It is, because it's the... Like you say, the Mission Impossible, Tom Cruise, COVID, you know, Man from Ultray.
Yes.
Just finding the highest place of the buff, don't get it, kind of tactics, which ultimately create that legendary status, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, man, you've got to be a ninja. You've got to be creeping and doing your thing. And it's quite exciting. Like, exploring is fun, man. And you're in, like, some mad place underground.
Yeah.
And there's trains there. And I ain't meant to be here, and it's all a bit like your adrenaline is going.
Talk to me about that feeling. So explain that, you know, because we're talking in retrospect now, you know, when you, like you say, that you didn't do many things like this, but explain that feeling of your first time ever going into those scenarios.
What, like the first time I ever did a train?
Yeah, why not?
Do you know what? Funny enough, the first time I ever put a tag on the outside of a train was with Form 72 and a good friend of ours that lived opposite called God. I don't think he did much writing, but basically there's a line that runs from Gospel Oak to, I think it goes to Barking, Upper Holloway and on and on to Barking.
But it goes from Liverpool Street or something like that, isn't it?
I don't know. Thing? Yeah, it's an overground train. Yeah. But back in the day, it was like a slam door BR.
Really?
Right?
Mad.
Well, I'm like eight, nine, whatever the age.
I'm still blown about that.
Go so on, somehow we get on these tracks and I follow them, innit? You know? And there's this train there. And we only had pens, innit? But we're climbing along this train because from ground level, you can only really reach sort of half panel.
Mm-mm.
It's quite big. Climbed up and we're climbing along and we're getting reaches. And I was pulling off like labels off the train and Form's like, leave those labels, what are you doing? Something about first class, I don't know, but it was quite exciting.
Well, because of a criminal damage point of view, what they deem as criminal damage would be taking away parts of the aesthetic as opposed to adding.
Yeah, I suppose.
I have no idea.
But it was just fun, man. The adventure, it was just brilliant, man.
You know? Adrenaline?
Yeah, it was like, probably not so much at that age, but when you was older and proper new sort of consequences and stuff, then...
Yeah.
You know, then the adrenaline would be a bit like going.
Russ, man, at that age, I've only asked a few people this before, but do you feel like you were born into the system of it all? Like,
I look at it like I was pretty lucky to have like a cool neighbour like Form.
I think insane. Yeah, yeah.
I think anyone would, you know.
Yeah, you've been doing graph all your life.
Well, basically, from sort of, I don't know, I learnt of it sort of 84, 86, somewhere there. And I've always done graph. And then sort of 90s sort of exploded. Even though you had the whole 80s scene and all the West London writers and everybody piecing and piecing, I didn't get to do all that till sort of a later stage when I sort of
built
was, I don't know, sort of old enough, big enough, more sort of confidence and aware of what's going on.
Agile of the of
yeah,
the...
so sort of 90s, and then it sort of faded out a bit, but then sort of 94, 92, I don't know, it was brilliant, man. And then I think it got to a stage where my first son was about to be born, and I think I got nicked about 5 days beforehand.
Nah.
Yeah, and I think me, Chop, was going over to go see Teach and hang out over his, and basically some sort of bullshit happened and I got arrested, and I was like, oh fuck, man. And then nothing happened from it. I don't know, that got brushed off, but I had my basically my kid's mum's father. He said, what are you doing, you know? You're about to have a kid and you're getting nicked. And I was like, oh, shit, man. Yeah, what am I doing? So then I sort of, that was sort of 97, 98. And I think I even threw a lot of shit away, and old first, like, torch pens and stuff I had. I threw a load of shit away because I thought, like, oh, I've let myself down, man, you know?
We're fast forwarding a little bit, and I kind of feel it natural to ask, do you, in that, is there a regret that you stopped, or is there a regret that you had done it in the first, when you're face to face with your realities and someone says that to you and all of a sudden you're grounded? I mean, bear in mind, you've been doing it so young. And then when someone says to you, hey, what are you doing? You know, you've got a kid now, or what are you doing?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah. Be a man. Like, where did what's the regret, this childish stuff kind yeah. of vibe?
Where did the regret lie? Where more so now or back then, as Gref was the wrong thing to have done, or you wish you'd kept going?
Because I would never change it. No, but the thing is, now and then I would sort of have little comebacks. And then, like, I even did pieces in Gref Halls of Fame and nothing sort of illegal. I even did, like, my son's name. I don't know, I won't regret nothing, man. It was like, it's like sort of whatever happened at the time. But obviously, for your kid's mum's dad to tell you sort of, what are you doing, you know? And you're like, oh shit, like, he's right. What am I doing? But I don't know, man. That was just then, innit? But then sort of I would still do Gref here and there. Even the odd train. But then we sort of split up, innit? So when it got to sort of 2001, maybe, I sort of came back, came back alive kind of thing, you know.
In comes Kells, who sees you in this era of light. Just to recap on, because the moves that clearly you'd made from a young age to this point where, you know, you're confronted by your father in law figure kind of guy saying, what are you doing? Like, how prolific were you in your mind? Like, how distant were you away from reality of things that were deemed as a responsibility? Were you so prolific? Was it busy?
Man, pardon me. Do you know what? None of us really want responsibility. So, but say, for instance, you've been doing Gref since you was 8, and then, now you're sort of 19, 20. I think 21. I think my first son was born when I was 21. But say you've been doing Gref for so fucking long, it's just natural. It's like, for instance, wherever I am, whether I was doing Gref or not, whether I sort of stepped away from Gref, I'd always look at tags and try and decipher what the hell that says. Like, I sort of look at myself like I'm a handwriting specialist.
The decipherer.
Yeah. You know, what the fuck is that text saying? Try and decipher it. I mean, you can't decipher all the text, but, you know.
Yeah, it's bonkers. It's like a language.
Yeah. And even we even had our own language, man, writers.
I've got a Phase 2 book, and obviously there are there's eubonics there, there's terminology.
Yeah, there's terminology about certain things. It's like back in the day, people call it a dub, innit? Back in the day, I'm sure it was called a stick-up, and it was just a chrome and black, and it was, you know.
A very London thing, that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, you was one of the proprietors. You guys were... You were of that era where you coined it.
Yeah, loved it, man. Loved it.
Give me some more terminology.
More terminology.
It's funny, I've had NM from Philadelphia, and he's telling me about wickets and things like that, and I'm like, yeah, that's crazy.
Wicket?
Yeah.
What's wicket, man? That's cricket stuff, ain't it?
No, no, wicket as in, like, so they do these massive flares, like fucking crazy, insane levels of tags that are all each curve of each area of the tag or the wicked. It is a defining.
Oh, you said wicked. I thought you said wicked. Sorry, man.
No, it's like it's this terminology.
Right.
And little details of.
Okay.
You know, the devil in the detail with those things, and you know, London has that identifiable look to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It does, man.
You can own you. You know.
You know when you got to London off the train?
That's the best feeling. So it's understandable that it's got its own terminology. What other ones are there?
Man, I don't know, man.
Like reaches, like, I've never heard...
Yeah, obviously, people would say blams for tags or tagging.
Yeah.
But we used to say reaches.
Yeah.
You know?
That was
you're reaching, isn't it? You're getting up, you know?
Yeah. London terminology, isn't it?
Yeah. Sure, there's more. I can't think right now, man. Yeah. Bit hazy.
Yeah. Give me some more haziness. Like, because, you know, when you come through, like, your whole teens doing graph and you're with the likes of Form and Chop, Tell, there's got to be some moments of, like, because you're so immersed, you must have been so immersed in it. You must have, like, seen and been a part of so many crazy things.
Yeah, I met, like, a lot of writers, innit, you know?
Yeah.
Met a lot of writers. Like, I, basically, in Tufnell Park, almost at the bottom of my road, you had a Hall of Fame there.
That's right.
Called Tufnell Park Hall of Fame.
I used to love that Hall of Fame, man.
And literally, you would do, like, a piece or a dub, and then you would just, I don't know, walk to wherever to get some... McDonald's or whatever, come back and it's been gone over. And you're like, oh shit, that was fucking barely even dry.
Wow.
But you'd meet a lot of fucking cool writers there, man. I mean, I met knuckleheads there. I met like Wrench, Snay, Legs.
Yeah.
I think they're like Reading Crew.
That's
I think once me and Chop went down there to go and meet them.
He speaks very highly of that. Me and him were like, that's one of the nicest Hall of Fames I think you could go to.
It's not bad. It's not bad. I mean, certain Hall of Fames, I probably didn't really venture out to some of them, but Tufnell was just brilliant, man. You'd meet, like, some of the coolest writers there, innit? I remember being there with Sign, like, Sign 129, he lived there, innit? So I'd always sort of go to check for him, and he just had a wicked piece in style. I remember once he called me and he was like, oh yeah, Sub's here. And I remember thinking, fuck, it's Sub, you know? And I think I literally ran from my house to go and meet Sub to put a face to the name.
Oh my God.
And I was like, rah, you're Sub.
Wow.
You know?
How did you get into DDS?
Do you know what? I didn't get put into DDS till sort of much later, like by Sub, but I was at Tufnell Hall of Fame, and I think it was either sort of late 97, 98, and Sub was like, yeah, you should put DDS up. And I was like, oh, nice one, man. Because I always moved with certain writers from DDS, but I weren't put in it, but I was always with them kind of thing. And you sort of got to earn
as a prospect, you've got to earn the stripes.
You've got to earn to be put in. You can't just think, oh, yeah, I'm going to write up this crew today. You can't just put yourself in a crew.
No.
That's not, you know, I'm sure there's situations like that.
I know Form put in a couple of people.
Yeah, certain writers have got says to certain crews because they sort of founded it, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. From that point there, and this is only, you know, through the podcast and getting an understanding of the geographics of DDS, there were obviously unified fronts here, but there were certain divisions of DDS. There was North, there was West. You guys kind of, am I right in thinking, you guys kind of handled a lot of kind of northern, you were more Islington, like you say, Tufnell Park, Kentish Town. You guys, alongside Form and Chop, Dre as well, would I say? Right?
Yeah, Dre's like sort of Camden area and that. Yeah. North London boys, isn't it? I mean,
That was kind of a division, wasn't it? That was kind of an area that you guys covered, wasn't
it? But we all used to meet up and stuff. You know, even years later, we all met up and went to mad squat raves together, innit?
You graph writers in your squat raves, I tell you, man. You guys get into so many squat raves.
But you know what? In fact, mentioning that, it sparked a memory. I remember we all used to go drink at the Dublin Castle in Camden.
Come on.
And
love that place. Wow.
But more time, we was just all outside, not really inside. And literally, there was a shop a door or two away, and someone was chatting about a squat rave. And I was like, yeah, I'll go to it. Whatever, man, I ain't doing nothing.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many of us ended up going, but someone, I can only remember a few heads that was there, really, but someone sort of creeped in the shop, stepped over the floor mat, because there was like a doot doot in the floor mat. So they stepped over it and they came out with a crate of Stella. It was warm beer, but we was drinking warm beer to go and meet other heads to go to this squat rave in Hackney.
Wow.
And I can remember being in King's Cross, but there was so much of us that we sort of walked in two crews.
Mm.
And me. Someone got sort of bounced by a guy in a suit. And the next thing, Manz was like, what?
Mm.
And then when these people realised how much of us there were, they was like, oh, fuck.
Squat. You
know? Yeah, like, enough of us. And we went to this squat rave. And the maddest thing is, me and Dre, we was chatting and chatting. And we got off the stop before by mistake. And they're all, like, banging on the window going like this. And I'm like, Dre. So me and Dre, we just ran track sort of behind the train and through a few tunnels and got to...
You ran behind the train and got to...
Well, the train's going to speed off.
Yeah.
But we sort of ran tracks through a couple of tunnels and whatever and caught up with them lot and went to this squat rave.
If I'm thinking what you're saying and it's being depicted, that is... I've never heard that before. That's bonkers. That's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just what we did. It was just normal.
It's just a thing.
It was just like nothing.
Do you build up enough tolerance?
We didn't give that no thought. That's no, just that's like normal behaviour like then.
How frequent was that kind of behaviour?
It was just normal. It was just like nothing. It was just like didn't pay it any mind, like it's normal.
A rite to passage, like this is just what we do, and that's what we're going to do. That those kind of moves, like.
Yeah. Just I don't know. Just that was it, innit? Just pay it no mind. That's just. It's like in your mind, you're doing nothing wrong, innit? It's like
you're just adding.
It's just amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
But so we're at this squat rave, and there's like I don't know if there's like 30 of us or what. I can remember. I think Take was there. I think Ouch might have even been there.
Big up these men, wow.
I can't remember all of them. I think Dre was there, obviously. I mentioned him, innit? There was enough of us, man. And I think even Cheat might have been there. He used to also write Kind and Money and Husky.
He used to write money as well.
And he used to write Urban. And he was like the most humblest, peacefulest guy ever, yeah.
Wow.
I think he was there. But we're in this rave, man. And then someone's like, yo, look at that. And no word of a lie, there was about 2,000 cans of Cover Plus spray paint just literally in the corner of this warehouse. And we're like, what the fuck? So...
What?
I swear down, man. And we're like, what? So we all start doing pieces and dubs with these cans. Now, we're like, that's fucking insane. Right?
Yeah, what the fuck is it? So what are we doing in here with this?
So we're piecing this rave, loads of us, and climbing up and doing dubs. And then people start complaining across over there, yeah?
Uh-oh.
And they're like, my friend's got asthma. And then someone else in the crew says, well, they shouldn't be here then.
Yeah.
And I don't know who, man, but one of our lot started throwing cans at them. Next thing, the room is just throwing full-size Cover Plus. And they're quite big cans. They're bigger than this can. And we're throwing full-size cans.
We are currently looking at a Krylon, vintage Krylon can, by the way, if you're listening and not watching. Come on. Carry on, as well,
so we're throwing these full-size cans across the room at each other. Luckily, no one got their face busting it because that would spoil their evening, innit? But, I mean, it was just mad. And then I think when we left there, me, Chop and Dre, because we all sort of lived close, we walked track all the way back home. Like, they went to Camden. I was living in, I think, Highbury. But literally, I was living right sort of by the station. So I just hopped over the wall and went home.
You just added heat and value to the mythology of DDS. Like, that's just... Squat parties were a thing, weren't they, back then?
Yeah.
And actually probably still are now. I mean, I love a good squat party, to be fair.
Man, I ain't been to one in years, innit? But it was pretty good. It was pretty good, man. If you're with... good people. It's nice, you know.
Let's just go back to this, the subject of what you and the crew, and graph writers in general, define as the norm. Walking tracks, just general feeling of privilege that you can just go and do that. That, you know, it's not normal for people, is it?
Yeah, well, the average person or... your son's teacher wouldn't dream of walking tracks, but there's something about just walking tracks and you just, the stones, there's something about walking tracks. Like, obviously, I know I'm not meant to be here, but it was just sort of normal and something, I loved it.
Mm.
Just exploring, just wandering around, like, you ain't meant to be here.
You're the first person, actually, to say the texture and feel of the gravel.
Stones, yeah, the stones.
Does that resonate with you a lot when you think of it?
Yeah. Even recently, I sort of walked on a certain little adventure. I love that, man.
Really?
Love that. Yeah, I just love that. I just went to check out some scrap trains, which basically was up in sort of near Sheffield. And I happened to hop a little fence and walk this track. And I was like, yeah, that's bad. That's like back in the day shit, you know?
Oh, listen, you know, these things are divisive, aren't they? They're like, wow, that's crazy.
I'm sure a lot of people miss that. And there's a lot of people coming back through, you know.
Yeah.
Because of this whole, like, Insta thing and whatever. Yeah. There's a lot of sort of old school heads coming back, you know. It's like when I went to the King Robbo day, I did my Robbo...
Can't believe we missed each other.
I know. I did my Robbo piece. I was chatting to Can. There's an old school writer called Can. I was chatting to him.
Yeah, there's enough
down there. And then I see Akit. I was chatting to Akit.
Big up Akit.
And then it started raining like mad. It was like a monsoon.
Bro, it dropped. I'd left and I see the rain coming through. I'm like, oh no, you got to hope you got your stuff done.
I thought you ain't coming here. Like, from you see, oh shit, it's raining.
Yeah.
Like, why would you even travel across to there? But basically I hurried up what I was doing. And then I think later that night or the next day I spoke to Can, and he was saying that Term 62 turned up. No, he said, oh, her was there. And I said, her? I said, that's Term 62, isn't it? I said, that's Chrome 307's brother.
What?
I was like, wow, I haven't seen him for
Chrome
years.
Chrome was there, though?
No. Term 62.
Right, okay, so Chrome wasn't there.
No, Chrome weren't there.
And there were so many old school heads there. It was bonkers, wasn't
it? Yeah, I wish I'd sort of waited, but when it got that much rain, I sort of just hurried up what I was doing and I just left.
I got the feeling I was leaving too. I had other commitments, but with that question, people were coming up to me that I was like, yo, that's you. Like, there was
So you got to meet a lot of heads.
Yeah, man. Man, it was... With someone like Robbo, man, like, and rest in peace to King, because, you know, his lineage of, like, decades and decades and who he, you know, embraced and, you know, the friends that he made.
Yes.
All celebrated within that one space. It was just, you know, to see all these generations of writers and it's mad, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was good. It was pretty good.
Healthy.
It started to get more and more busy when I was there, and then I see a few, like, posts and that, and they put up a sound system and...
Yeah.
It looked like banging, didn't it? It looked like proper good, but I just had to go because of that rain. Get some grub.
Yeah, that's right. Few and far between, you get events like that where generations do collide, and it's just nice to see a unification in a scene, isn't it?
Yeah, and see who can be bothered to come out.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it's true, it's true. You mentioned the Instagram thing. Now, obviously, you mentioned stuff that is clearly built for podcast consumption, and people love it, as I do. But now, with the age of Instagram, you're back on the scene, you're back out and active.
Yeah, do you know what it is? Through the years where I sort of stopped, now and then I would have a comeback in it, and then it's like, these sort of days, like, I've been painting quite a bit recently, legal spots though, nothing, you know.
No baitness.
But it's like... You go to work, you come home, it's boring, man. And the maddest thing is, you know, you've got to have something for you, innit? It's like some men go do fishing or golf, and little do they know it, they're sort of meditating and having their own peaceful time.
Give me that. That's absolutely true.
I paint, I just go there and look at the spot and think, oh, yeah, what could I do here? And I don't always piece from an outline. Sometimes I might start doing an outline and think, fuck you. And then I just start freestyling the letters and doing my thing.
Mm. And the therapy, the zen.
Yeah.
The zen is insane,
man.
Isn't
it's,
it?
It's peaceful, isn't it? It's like, you know.
It's you versus the wall, isn't it, essentially?
Yeah. It's fun. It's like, what can I do to this wall to make it look better?
Mm.
Pardon me.
How do you feel about that? Like, with hindsight of all those years that you had been doing graph and... all those escapades and all those accolades, like DDS, Form, all these different stories.
Man, I don't know, man. It's mad. It's just mad. Like, you know.
Because to come this far and then to reinvent yourself in such a way
for
2021.
It's like some people, like I said to someone recently, like midlife crisis. Getting into graph, they goes, nah, man. They goes, you're just back.
And yeah, you are back, man. Like, that's the thing.
Yeah. Well, you got to have something for you, innit? It's, you know, can't just be all work and all of that.
Mm.
You have to have something, whether you're spinning records at home or whatever it might be, something has to be for you, whether it's skateboarding, rock climbing, something. You have to do something. Can't just be work and go home, innit?
What's your family think? Because obviously everyone's grown up now, so you're in a better... I guess you're more in a...
My two older sons, I split up with their mum the day before... My oldest son, Dexter, innit? Day before his fifth birthday, we split up, yeah. And she moved them to Brighton. But they're big now, man. Like, them two boys is like 20 and 24. And one of them, he loves his skateboarding and graph.
Mm.
And then the older boy, he loves his graph. So now and then, even recently, me and the older son, we painted down Shoreditch together because he just graduated uni. So I said, oh, let's go and paint together.
Oh, my
God. So that was like
just give me goosebumps. That's the coolest shit I've heard in ages. That's so sick.
So we just went to paint down there. We met at Chrome and Black.
Yeah. So mandatory. Come on, I'll type Chrome and Black.
We met at Chrome and Black. And we got some nice colours and that, and just went and did a little something. And then went and had some nice food, and I was like, yeah, man, happy graduating.
Man, that must have been one hell of a fulfilling day.
It was pretty good. It was pretty fun, man.
Yeah.
It's pretty fun.
A lot of people don't understand, and I'm talking about the wider bovine, the closeness, the personal. I mean, you mentioned it about, you know, something for you. Mm. The personal, this is about you, and it's a selfish thing, graffiti. It's a real personal thing. A lot of people don't understand it. They think that, yeah, they think, well, what's the deal with that? Why would you go and do that? You know,
it's kind of just for you. So when you do a piece, that's for you, isn't it?
Mm.
That's you. That's not, like, obviously people can see it and they can either like it or not. But that's for you, isn't it? That's something for you.
Yeah.
So has to be something, isn't it? It's nice to be creative, you know?
Yeah. Give some more stories. What stories you got?
So one time I was at Petro's house. He happened to live about two roads away from me. And I was at Petro's house, and I can't remember all the writers that were there, but Irish was there.
Oh man, I think so. Irish, I think Steel Injection when I think Irish, and what's it called? What was the name of Visual Graphics? Okay. Things like that. Yeah, yeah. Legend.
I remember that videos. But Irish says to me, "Yo, Rust, have you ever been to G?" And I said, "Nah, man." I said, "I ain't been there." I tell you what, the next week, I went there with a certain few writers, and I climbed in there, and G is fucking mad, like, because it's underground, yeah. But I've only been there once, innit, but it's mad because all the fucking doors are open, and you all got to hold the doors while someone hits the buttons.
What?
Shut them, and you got to try and shut them quietly.
What?
They leave it open, huh, so you can't paint, kind of thing, innit?
And so you have to turn the button and... Yeah. What, none of that.
It does that, yeah. It does that, but you try and shut the doors, you hold them to try and let it shut more quietly. So...
Mad.
So I'm there with about four others, and basically I ain't going to say no names and that, but it's the, like, I've never been to this yard, so I'm like, rah, this is wicked, isn't it? So I did my piece, someone pieced next to me. I didn't even get to look at all the other work because we got shifted. We had to just run out of there.
Hmm.
And the maddest thing is, we got out of there, I fell over, someone else fell over, I helped them up. And then we climbed up this mad, like, ladder thing and got up to street level. And then there was all, like, feds everywhere, yeah. And then they pulled up this big group of, like, I don't know if they was Spanish or Italian tourists, like, guys, but the police just grabbed the wrong group, innit?
Oh, my God!
So it's like, fuck, that was close. We just, yeah, we just got away and disappeared, like.
Wow.
But we got, yeah, we got shifted. I don't even know if it was like a guard or police or what that was in the yard. But luckily we got out of there, innit? And it's a bit sort of like manic.
Yeah.
All of you running and just.
And just a matter of crossing paths with wrong people.
I finished my piece though, you know what I mean?
Wow. Yeah,
I finished my piece. I didn't get no photos. A lot of photos I ain't got. And there's certain writers that got photos, but they don't really give out their photos. That's their
personal stash. Yeah,
so.
Oh, man.
That was a mad one. Like,
give us some more stories, man. Give us some more. Give us some more stories. Without giving too...
You probably want sort of like train talk and this and that. All right, do you know what, yeah?
Yes.
All right. I can remember... Hey, by the way, right? I never hear anyone on your podcast chat about... On the Big Met, when people used to sort of, I don't know, to me it was sort of winter time, you would go and do insides and catch tags, yeah? And you'd think, right, and you'd try and fuck this carriage up between stops as much as you can. Mm-hmm. How much can I write my name up? Mm-hmm. But there used to be someone, I don't know if it was an LT or a driver, yeah? But someone used to write an arrow pointing at your tag and they would write Mongol gibberish. So anybody that was out there back then would know this.
It's comments below. Comments that below. I want to know more.
Yeah. Someone used to write that Mongol gibberish and do an arrow at someone's tag. Like, I don't know. But anyone was out there would see that. So anyway, one time now, me and Choppies, we're riding the Big Mac, and basically we're catching tags now. And next thing, a guy comes to the door and looks through the middle at us, and it's a fucking Fed, isn't it? And we're like, oh, shit. So I think he pulls the thing and the train stops. And we're like, fuck. And my boy's like, hey, he's coming, you know. So we just jumped out of the train onto the tracks and we just dust. And then we found a spot and we just hid, yeah. And it was fucking freezing, man. It was like winter. And we're behind like a sort of garage. I don't know, it's a fucking small space.
Mm.
And we're there in the cold. And I was like, yo, I dropped one of my cans. Like, because we've been out racking.
Mm.
So I was like, oh, shit, I dropped one of my cans. You know, he's like, no, wait, wait. So we're there, I don't know for how long, until it sort of cooled down. So I was like, no, I'm going to back to get my can. Because that's like, I need that, man. Yeah. That's my paint. You know what I'm saying? So I went back and found the can, and he come with me. And then we see to our right a two-train layup. And I'm like, yo.
Mm.
Which I think was... Because there was a two layup. So I was like, rah, look at that. So anyway, we sort of checked it out and we fucked off because it was sort of daytime. And then I think like by the next weekend, I went there, smashed it. And it's mad because it was quite a tight space in between the trains because obviously you don't want to be on the outside to get clocked. And
how tight would it been? Like... Could you be to get perspective on what you were doing?
I don't know. Not much space, man. Mm. I don't know how many foot that is. It's not... It was quite...
I can imagine,
just
yeah.
tight, but you could walk through there, but I don't... You couldn't really get photos from in between there.
No.
But man would go there, like, I don't know how many times. Just... And I remember once walking in winter with him, and he's... I caught my shirt on something, and it just went... It just ripped... And then he laughed at me, and then about 20, 30 seconds later, he did the same thing. His shirt ripped, and I'm like, see? But yeah, man, like, Missions was wicked, brother. It's just like exploring, just trying to get your name up, mm-hmm. you know, just, it was wicked.
I always escape in my head when I'm hearing a story like that. I mean, obviously, we're talking in retrospect now. It doesn't happen like that no more.
And the maddest thing about that spot was... You're that quite close to the train
yeah.
that you're getting covered in like black and chrome and whatever's yeah.
yeah.
So you're looking kind of like a
dusty.
You're looking kind of like a chimney sweep boy. And then me and him have got to now bunk the train back to get away from this.
Yeah.
So now and then, what we would do is we'd get in the very end car and get in the driver's cab. And sit in the driver's cab and ride all the way back.
Wow.
And smoke two spliff and have a drink and be like, yo.
What this says to me is like the real living in the now. Like, I mean, okay, we're talking about a different era where, you know, we weren't so self-conscious about shit. Because that's really a thing. We're also really all impatient if we look at it really fundamentally.
Definitely.
But back then it sounds to me like each... stage of your day is considered and you're not really overthinking the future.
Yeah, not really. It's just sort of day by day, you know? Yeah, it's just like he'd call me on the house phone, I'd come to meet him and we'd either meet sort of Chalk Farm and then we'd go to like this noodle place and we'd get like noodles and then we'd eat noodles on our way to Chalk Farm. Chalk Farm was always easier to sort of bunk through the train, because it got to a point where, because he was from Kentish and I'm from Tufnell, and Tufnell, both those stations got hot for us to bunk in, and also I think they kind of knew who we were, to a point one day they asked for tickets and they grabbed him and I run down the 100 and whatever stairs. And can't remember what happened. I think they called, like, feds on him or whatever, but nothing came of it. But it just got to a point where it was just normal. It was just like...
Being on top, being hot, was normalised.
I don't know, it was just like we was in our teens and it was just like... We didn't know no different, innit? It was just like bunking the train.
And also you kind of feel like this is just a moment in time and nothing could ever possibly go wrong.
It was fun, man. We'd probably laugh at it.
Yeah.
You know, not really pay it no mind. And I mean, we would meet up probably sort of near Chalk Farm, Camden, get some nice noodles from this spot and then bunk the train and then we'd end up at a main station, bunking through onto the big train, going to God knows where to go and try and get some paint, you know?
Mm. Have you been raided a lot? Over your teens and...
No, because what it was, I didn't used to keep my stuff there. You just have like a safe family member who you trust, whether it's a safe auntie or sister or I don't know, whoever, who don't get in trouble, and you just store all your stuff at theirs. And then not only that, certain paint, you plot it in this bush here or whatever, and don't really have that stuff at your place.
I see, because I hear stories from certain writers that just, I don't know, it's almost like they're invisible and they never have ever got caught. But then I feel like there's some guys that unfortunately just, you know, are like magnets to...
Yeah, and they sort of get caught all the time or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I got caught a bunch of times for graph in my teens. I don't know, man. Some people, they're just quite lucky, you know.
What do you reckon the time expectancy is from a writer that's starting to a writer to actually be as prolific enough that it'd be like, fuck you, I'm getting raided, or fuck, I got caught?
Well, it depends. See, the thing is, yeah, graph now, it's like trendy. It's like, I don't know how many sort of new writers and names there are, but how long will they last? That's will they the truth. Will they get to a point where, I fucking love this, and they just go berserk and get their name up, like to a point where they're on the wanted list, you know? Will they? Will they last like a year? Will they last longer?
For us, you're one of them guys that have last, you stood the test of time. That's an acclaim. That, like you're saying, like it's actually a long game. It's living in the now, long game, isn't it?
Yeah, but don't forget, I've had a few like paused, like I've sort of stepped back from it, you know, like sort of family life takes over, and you got to be a dad, and obviously you got to work because you got to pay to live, and you got to pay your rent or your mortgage or whatever doing, isn't it? You can't. Yeah. Obviously, it's like writers are quite hooligans. In a way, but...
Quiet hooligans.
Yeah, they're like...
Interesting.
Don't you think there's like a hooligan element to it?
Yeah.
I mean...
For sure.
Yeah, it's like graph, it is fucking addictive. It's like, wherever you go, it's like, I can remember being on the train without any pens or anything and not thinking too much about it. I got 20p and I'm scratching into that blue sticker.
Mm-hmm.
There's a blue sticker that's saying about pay your ticket or you get a fine or whatever it's saying. Yeah. But I'm scratching my tag into that. Or that's, I'm scratching a 20p into the door and I'm thinking, oh, graph is back.
Yeah. Each motion, you know, each little
bit. It
is
addictive, man. It's brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm thinking about the life expectancy and timeline of a graph writer.
Oh, you mean like career?
Career, like,
how long will they last in this game? I don't know, man. There's certain people that are still going for 30, 40 years. They might not be doing any sort of illegal stuff, but there's certain people that are still doing pieces because they just love it. And you know what? They've probably done it for so long that... It's what they know, isn't it? I don't know.
Yeah, it just becomes their thing.
Hmm.
Like integrity and because you worked so closely with so many writers over the years, that brings immense level of kudos, and I think that's why for you stepping in and out you know, and being choosy of when you want to do it. I think that gives you kind of right to passage, don't it? It gives you the...
Yeah. You know what I mean? Hey, you know what? One of the maddest things, and I know you're like this, I was at a yard, and so I'm there painting, and I think I'm there with Co and June and Sense. Sense used to write Pabs.
Okay.
But I'm there, and I think Chop's there. And then suddenly, there's more and more and more heads. And this is 90s. So this might have been sort of early or mid-90s. And the next thing, I start seeing Sham 59 tags. And I'm like, shit. Then I start seeing Chuck 101. Then I walk back to a piece that I was doing. And then I see this fucking Tarzan whole car. I'm like, oh
get the
shit
out of here.
I didn't even know these lot were here. And then I can't even think who else was there. I think Fig was there. I think quite a few heads were there, man. And it was like, fuck, suddenly.
Well, just suddenly come out of the woodwork.
Yeah, well, I went there with certain heads. And then next thing I start seeing these certain tags. And when I see Chuck 101, I'm like, oh, fuck. Because I don't think I ever met Chuck, you know? And I'm like, oh, shit.
It's an OG.
He was mad.
Mate, like, that is some 11-11 sensory, like, we're all meeting. Because this was before, like, you know.
Yeah. I don't know if mobile phones were there then or what. I'm not sure. I'm trying to think when everybody had phones. But I don't know, man. Certain people, yeah, people just kept turning up and turning up. I think even maybe Slam turned up. I'm not sure.
Oh, tight Slam,
I'm
Jesus.
I'm not sure,
Christ,
man.
Almighty.
You know?
Like... and you know, again, this is just an ever increasing tapestry of stories and stuff across the podcast, man. Like, it seems to me that these opportunist moments of everyone suddenly it's more frequent than you think. And when you think about, like, the quote unquote epidemic of the level of graph that's coming out now, it actually probably was the same all these years before. It's just it wasn't so publicly displayed on social media.
It's like everyone keeps saying it's more accepted, you know.
It's probably due to the internet.
Yeah.
Internet makes everything appropriate.
It makes it seem like graph is blowing up again, you know. Yeah, man, like, it's good. It's a good thing.
What's the feeling of the new pack? Because obviously, the old paint back in the day, was it like using these, you know, four-wheel drive cans and caps?
Well, even in like the 2000s, when I was moving with, you had writers like Welsh, Tees.
Yeah.
I think I met Shoggy a bunch of times in the 2000s.
Hold tight, Shoggy.
But basically, I would get in touch with Stees and he would come meet me and bring me these Montanas.
But shit, golden eras, man.
To me, he was the only link to get Montanas and like actual like spray for graffiti.
Hold tight, Steez.
I used to get through Steez, you know. So I used to move with Welsh and Tees a lot. But yeah, like the paint to today, and you can get Loop and all these certain different colours and paint, it comes out more controlled, because back in the day shit, it come out fast, and it was a bit mad. You had to sort of, and we didn't have caps back then.
Yeah.
Like, I can always remember going to petrol stations, and you had a can called Damp Start, which was obviously for damp car engines. But me and Chop would literally open all the cans, take all the caps off, and put it back. And that was like a fat cap, it had like a green dot. But then now, I think even Zombie said it on one of your podcasts, there's about 50 caps now.
50 or more.
So these writers these days are quite fortunate that they've got like the full different range of paints and caps.
I'm not trying to condone.
But it's a good thing. It's a wicked.
Yeah, no, but at the same time, I'm not trying to condone, you know, the activity at all. But surely that there's. And you listen, I'm in no way. You know, I think it's fucking awesome the way the world is right now. There is an art to the collecting of the right pieces to create the puzzle you're after. And there is an art to mixing the colours. There is an art to...
I've never done that. I've heard of that, put in
yeah, yeah, yeah.
A straw and then you half freeze a can and you do something. I think I learned that from Stax, actually. He told me about that, but I never tried it.
Yeah, you know? It's just that to me just blows my mind. That's like putting a needle on a piece of plastic and it brings out music. What the fuck's that about? It's like, yeah. it's almost
it's
like,
mad to get your mind around yeah. it. What, you mean you turn on that box and you've got a TV screen yeah. and you can watch someone going like this?
That sounds more weirder than actually yeah. what's going on in technology now.
It's yeah, it's mad, but just remember that everything comes from the earth, isn't it?
Ooh.
Everything comes from the ground, isn't it?
Mm.
Whether it's good things, bad things, mm. everything's made from the ground, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
You know. Even the spray can.
Yeah, well, I was about to say, even from back in the day, the tribalness of putting your name up. I think Harris once said it. Big up Danny Cairns for mentioning it, because he clued me in on it. But, you know, you give a kid, an eight-year-old kid, a crayon, and they're going to go over to a wall and start scratching
it. Trying to write their name. It's like at school, writing underneath all the tables.
Just what you do.
Yeah.
It's like the human...
I don't know how many tables I wrote. Yeah. At school. I think I even got kicked out of school,
dude,
for graph.
Yeah, dude.
I think, like, the changing room, the locker room, I completely fucked it up.
Really?
And I think I got kicked out of school. And many a times my mum would say, "You're looking very grubby today." And I'd be like, "Yeah, so would you, mum, if you'd been writing your name half the night."
What does your mum think about you going out like that?
These days, she thinks it's good, man. Do you know what I mean? But
it's good for the soul.
Back then, she... I think there was even a few times where my mum sort of followed me onto a certain tracks, because we had a certain tracks not far that was sort of our playground, and we used to just sit between this certain bit and smoke and that.
Bless her, so she wanted to make sure.
But
that
she,
you were
doing
yeah, what you're
doing. Like obviously you don't want nothing to happen to your child, innit? No. I mean, but she got to a stage where I'd be like, "Oh look, I'm going out with that lot. I'll see you in the morning." And she'd be like, "Okay, don't get nicked and don't get hurt." And I'm like, "All right, mum, thanks. I'll show you the photos." You know, and oh, she was mate. Cool. And then I think years it's later, amazing. My mum was in Wales and she met someone. And she was like, "They'd heard of you." And I was like, "Oh, that's nice." You know, and she was kind of proud, innit? So.
That's so, so sick.
Yeah, but don't get hurt yeah. and don't get nicked. Mm. You know,
but what else can you say? Can you imagine? I mean, what's? I mean, I know your boys they do graph, but at that time,
older boys,
yeah,
yeah, they're like 20 and 24.
Did you ever have a concern?
One of them, he's been doing graph recently,
yeah.
And I'll probably say the same thing. In fact, he called me the other night that he was gonna go paint, and I said, "Yo, be safe, man." I said, "I don't want you in trouble, like, but I suppose I can't say nothing."
Mm.
Because I was getting up to mad shit on mad tracks.
But that makes you more experienced to say it, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I just don't want nothing to happen, innit? I want him, if he loves graph, do graph, innit?
Mm.
You know, do graph. But just first of all, be safe and don't get nicked, mm-hmm. innit? Like,
you heard it here first from Pops.
Could you imagine his mum saying, "Oh," in fact, the older son, he got into some fucking bullshit trouble through graph. I don't know, I think he did a rooftop with someone. I don't know, he got in trouble and she's like, "Look, he's getting in trouble now." And I said, "I didn't tell him to do that."
Mm.
You know?
Mm.
But yeah, there's that as well, isn't it? Like,
do you think it's as habitual as that it gets passed down by generation? I don't think your influence will carve someone's defining journey. Does it like that?
I don't know, man. I mean, there's, I don't know, certain things could sort of pass down, but do you know what? Yeah. You got your own choices, isn't it?
Yeah.
What to do and what not to do, isn't it? And you know, if you do certain things, you got to deal with the consequences, isn't it?
I think it's dealing with the consequences, isn't it? It's like the moves you make is ultimately your own, isn't it?
Yeah, it's your choice, isn't it? I didn't tell you to step out in front of that bus out there, and I think you decided to move like that.
But yeah, and that's a good example of, you know, there's bigger issues out there going on.
Hey, the maddest thing is when I paint, sort of, I call it trendy town, innit? But like Shoreditch
don't
area.
Which bit you mean? Yeah.
But when I'm round Brick Lane, Shoreditch area, which it seems like it's well acceptable now, because a lot of the old school peace parks have shut down, innit?
That's right.
So if I'm round there, you'll get people come up and talk to you, and you turn round, there'll be a camera in your face, and I'm thinking like, What are you doing, man? I'm not sticking a camera for your kitchen window or nothing. Mm. I'm doing my own thing, minding my own business. Mm. I just happen to be doing a colourful big fucking lettering. Yeah. But they think it's nice, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know what as well is... Because there's positives and negatives. Obviously, we don't want fucking people's faces being in camera shots. You know,
not really.
But, and also, you know, I think there's a naivety to the people that are doing that. They don't realise who they're actually taking a photo with at all.
Yeah, well, how do you know if that person's, like, on the most wanted and a well-up writer?
This is something that's got to be really... This conversation has to resonate with them, really. Because the flip side as well is, in 2021, where street art is the way it is, graffiti, real graffiti is the way it is, and these kind of dance that this dance that I feel like is happening between the two. It must be an interesting dynamic to have. Almost like a place like Shoreditch, which is almost like a moving exhibition place, and everyone's passing through. Sometimes, like you say, pieces are being painted over each other in the same fucking day.
Yeah, I mean. Not long ago, I passed through there and Tizer was there.
I'll tell Tiz.
And he had a few of his sort of crew that he paints with there. So I was like, yo, I'm going to go over that. And he's like, yeah, Russ, do your thing. Do what you're doing. So I did a piece there. And do you know what? It lasted for about a month or more.
Wow.
Yeah, because I thought, oh, right. I was even going to... No, it wasn't the Robber Memorial Day. But I cycled through there and it was still there, you know?
Mm.
It was still there, man. And I see Vods recently as well.
Yes.
He was there at the day, innit? Did you see him at the... No? I see Vods, man.
Fuck, man. I'll type Vods all day.
Yeah, he recognised me.
I would have seen him, obviously. But, you know, I didn't clock him. But, yeah, listen, how important... You know, for the uneducated who are watching, how important is it not to go over people's shit? You've got to know who you're going over before you start painting it.
Yeah, man, I think, like, you've got to be respectful. Like, certain people, they don't probably know the rules, because guess what? They're new to this, isn't it?
They need to know the rules.
Yeah, basically.
This is part of the argument for street art.
It's kind of like... Someone's done a full colour massive wall and it's took them like, I don't know, 30 cans.
Yeah.
Took them all fucking day.
Yeah.
And then you come and do some fucking scrappy two colour over it. You got to realise in your fucking brain that's a piss take.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? How would you like that? You spent all day, all those colours, all that effort for someone to do that to them.
Yeah, yeah.
But... It's like, I don't know, man. People get beaten up for that shit. And,
yeah.
And people, like, I can remember back in the day, people going over certain things and a pal of mine saying, you owe us, like, 10 fucking Burtons. And they had to bring us 10 fucking, the best paint out at the time. They had to go rack us 10 cans and give us 10 cans. And I was like, bro, he said, no, fuck that. He went over our production. He can repay us. Do you know what I mean?
Rules.
So there is rules... You know, but whether they respect other people's art, you know.
I think it's a respect, like that whole street art phenomenon. It's like, that's the problem, I think. It's like the rules ain't being entirely handled.
Well, but certain writers that they might know that's like old school might not school them or pass them sort of things down. But the thing is, for instance, if you're going to go over someone's piece... You've got to at least do something better than what they did, or just as good, isn't it?
Mm.
Otherwise, it might be seen as you're disrespecting that person, isn't it? It's like, have you really chose just to go over this where you could have gone over to that wall that doesn't have amazing colour fades and arrows and the
sharpness, all that?
Yeah.
That's a really good point. It's not actually what I think what Russ is getting at is it's not necessarily about how many colours you've got on the wall and how much the paint was. It's more the quality and standard.
Yeah. How does this piece look that you're choosing to go over?
Yeah.
Like, could you not go to another?
Yeah. Will you be better than that? Or is that what you mean?
Yeah, like, make your decision in it. Make your choice in it.
Yeah, that's right.
Because it could be seen as disrespect, in it.
That's right. And then you're opening a whole down.
Yeah, well, you don't know who you're going over, innit? Yeah, Some people don't fucking play.
Yeah.
You know?
That's right. Age of a piece as well. If his date has been there for ages, that's another thing. But if there's someone that's passed away, you don't fucking go over it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I've heard of something like that. Yeah. It depends how respectful you are, innit?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, yeah, if that's been there for however long, why would you... You could have gone over that bit of wall further along.
That's right. That's the thing with Hall of Fames, man. That's the thing with Hall of Fames. You've got to be so...
Yeah, even track sides, innit?
Yeah. Even you've got to be appreciative of the space.
You've got to respect the old school, basically.
Yeah.
Because they were there before you, innit? And they sort of paved the way.
Yeah.
And now it's your turn.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a fine line. And anyone... Again, listen, I'm just talking from a street art point of view here, not that I know too much about it, but the truth is, if you know the lineage, you know the protocol, this is the protocol, essentially.
But whoever sort of schooled them artists, they must know, you know, someone's brother or some certain writer that can school them, just to know the rules, ain't it, you know?
Yeah, it's a science behind it. It's what's behind the curtain. That's the real shit. It's what's behind the piece. It's what's behind the what's the moral compass of each thing, each action you do. There has to be a moral.
Yeah, well, there's a good or bad reaction to your what you're doing.
Yeah. So, oh man, we learn as we go. And look, you know, it is what it is. Some mistakes happen. Some things happen. Shit just happens. But it's easily fixable. But if you don't learn from their mistakes, that's the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. But they're learning time, innit? And they'll get better.
Yeah, that's right.
And they'll be hopefully...
robust.
Yeah, man. Be more respectful, you know, for... They'll learn it. That's it, man. I don't know.
Which kind of circles right back round to the start where we began. And the fact that, you know, your legacy of learning and developing and building enough tolerance in yourself to... be sitting here today, Rust, and doing what you do, you know?
Yeah. I'm glad to be here, man. It's nice.
Yeah.
It's good, man.
I do believe you got some shout-outs. You got some shout-outs you want to give out to the people, man.
Right, so I want to big up, like, Akit, Spire, Save, Diet, Shutu, Sub, Fume, Zombie, everyone, man. Everyone that's doing their thing and everyone that was there. You know who was up. You know who's up if you're out there doing it and that. You know who's up, man.
Yeah, that's right. Big shout out to Form as well for connecting us, actually. To be
fair, man. You know what I mean? Mr. 72.
We've been mates on the Instagram, you and me, and it's great to have you on, brother. It really is.
Brilliant. It's been good to be here, man.
Have you enjoyed it?
Yeah. It's good, it's good.
It's good. It's good for the soul. It's good for the soul. Big shout out, Rusty. Yes, oh my God. I mean, if you ain't getting value in these things, then you're clearly on the wrong podcast platform. Keller Vision, Killer Keller Podcast, giving you love and direct. You know what we're doing here. Sharing is caring. Tell a friend to tell a friend, all right? And don't talk to anyone I wouldn't. You stay lucky. Nice one, Rust.
Save Keller.
Peace.
Pretty good.